Welcome to On OC, the weekly podcast for the Voice of OC, Orange County's only nonprofit newsroom. I'm Norberto Santana Jr., I'm the publisher. This week I'm joined by Elizabeth Hansberg, who has made a lot of attention here in Orange County by starting a group called YIMBY, Yes in My Backyard, the opposite of a NIMBY, No in My Backyard. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us today and your work on the issue.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about YIMBY, how this movement started.
So the movement really started in California in the San Francisco area. It's a response of largely a millennial age group to the really high housing costs in San Francisco. San Francisco and Silicon Valley are obviously very high opportunity areas, but one of the most prohibitive things about young people being able to take advantage of those opportunities is the cost of housing. So it really became a movement born out of people that were housing advocates going to planning commission meetings, going to city council meetings, and, you know, being the voice of, yes, we do need this housing. Yes, we want this housing. You know, when they looked at the numbers and they saw that really these high prices are being driven by a housing shortage. And so it really was a grassroots movement of millennial aged folks to advocate for the housing that they need and to provide a voice of yes to development when really the only voice that was being heard was the no voice.
Now, I've seen you kind of all over Orange County at different conferences, meetings, city councils. Tell me a little bit about where you're from, what pulled you into this issue, and what you've been doing.
I live in Fullerton. I've lived in Fullerton for 12 years. I originally grew up on the East Coast. We got started because I attended the SCAG 2016 Housing Conference, and there was a panel, and on that panel was a woman named Sonia Trouse, who is one of the founders of the YIMBY movement in San Francisco. And the other person that was on that panel was a woman named Lucy Dunn, who is the CEO of the Orange County Business Council. You know, so the panel's talking, and Lucy turns to the audience, and she makes the comment, somebody really needs to do this in Orange County. The YIMBY movement needs to come to Orange County. That was like late October, and so in January of 2017, I decided I was going to do it. I mean, I kind of thought about it over those months, and then I thought, you know what, my personal work schedule changed, and I had the time to get it started, and so, I mean, it's a volunteer effort. I mean, I did it unpaid for over a year, just as a labor of love and out of a personal conviction that it's wrong for an entire generation of home-owning baby boomers to be able to say to young people and working class people, you know, you can't buy a home here. You know, you can't live here. You know, the kind of housing that you need isn't welcome here. That is a social injustice. And if it takes all of my energy to make opportunity for housing that people can afford that doesn't break their budget, for home ownership opportunity for, you know, the millennial generation, Generation X, working class people, yeah, I'm going to do that.
So tell me a little bit about the different examples that you've seen throughout different pockets of the county where you've seen good projects kind of get beat up, or this idea of just protest and politicians that aren't willing to stand up to it. I mean, generally, what's been your sense of just from the audience of seeing these developments?
So in my city, and I think in North Orange County, around the 22 and North, you know, Orange, those cities that have a grid street plan, but tend to be pretty low density because that's how they were built, but they have the bones to take on moderate density housing. I mean, we can do, you know, 4 and 5 story mixed use housing on the upper floors, retail on the bottom. It's close to transit. They're on the Metrolink line. Sometimes they're on 2 Metrolink lines, you know, but whenever a project like that is proposed, people come out in droves to say, we don't want any high density housing. So here's an example. In Fullerton, we are doing a redevelopment of the Fox Theater. The organization that the city selected to do this it's called Pelican Communities. They have done the most amazing buildings in Huntington Beach that included lots of parking. So it was basically like a parking garage that was very attractive with housing above it. So this company, Pelican, comes to Fullerton. You know, they have a series of community meetings to kind of gather input from the community, which developers always do. And basically what comes out of that is no new housing. I go to the city council meeting where the head of Pelican is presenting his findings to the city council, and he says, you know, honestly, the highest and best use, what the market would demand here is housing because it's in the downtown, it's got a great social fabric, it's got an engaged community around it, it's got a great grid street plan, but none of your people want housing. And so basically we had this amazing opportunity to do a mixed use, possibly generate funding to fix up the Fox Theater, which is a nonprofit and has, you know, taken a long time to get rehabbed. I mean, there were opportunities to generate revenue streams, and it got killed because the Harry and Harriet homeowner who live around that area didn't want any more housing in their community.
Earlier this month, we had a similar situation at the Board of Supervisors where a large community of Chinese immigrants showed up where they were talking about affordable housing developments. And I mean, it got pretty hot. Were you there that day?
I was there for three meetings. And the one I think you're talking about is where the buses of people that were
Correct.
Chartered by the company We Irvine
Right.
came. They chartered buses and sent the folks up. So yes, I was there for that supervisors meeting. I think that situation is a little different because, you know, the housing that in the project I was describing with the Fox Theater, that would have been, I think, market rate housing. The housing situation that we're talking about in Irvine at that meeting was short-term emergency housing for homeless people. So you factor in a whole new group of factors when you start talking about, you know, people that currently do not have homes, people that potentially have mental health issues that is going to prevent them from really, you know, finding their housing in the open market. I think another added element of that is the idea of foreign capital. I mean, you know, the Friday before that meeting, many people showed up on the plaza of the Irvine City Hall, and the protest was organized by the company We Irvine. You know, I'm getting my information from the Orange County Register, and I was not at that. I want to clarify, you know, I was not at that protest, but, you know, the majority of the people that are at that protest are recent immigrants. They have bought homes in Irvine, very expensive homes. Most of them are here on an EB-5 visa, which if you have $500,000 and you're a foreigner, you can invest your money to, I think it's create or preserve 10 jobs, and you can have the ability to live here legally. And so effectively what you have is you have a group of immigrants who have invested in being in the U.S., right, both through the purchase of a visa and then the purchase of a home. And they are coming out and demanding that our elected officials effectively preserve their property values. I mean, they don't want to have this quote-unquote tent city homeless shelter on land adjacent to their property because they're worried about the devaluation of their homes. That's a normal thing to be worried about. I mean, just to be clear, any thinking human being is going to, you know, have a problem with that because here they've made this great investment and, you know, along comes the county and makes a decision that, you know, is severely going to impact their investment. So you understand why they're upset. The irony of it is that, you know, the UC Irvine study that just came out, which is being used by the United Way and other organizations that are putting forward this End Homelessness OC effort, that study said that something like 9 out of 10, I'm not exactly sure of the number, but I think it was something like 9 out of 10 homeless people are US citizens, and many of them are veterans, and they have lived in Orange County for 10 years or more. So the idea that these are people from other parts of the country that are moving here and, you know, taking up our social services, those were not the findings of the UCI study. So there's a little bit of irony when folks who can't vote show up at the city council or the Board of Supervisors meeting and are protesting the provision of emergency housing for citizens who have lived here for a long time and are not obviously in a position to buy a $1 million home, you know. And you can make the argument that government has the responsibility to look out for the health and welfare of its citizens. So you have a situation where the property value or the investment of foreign capital is being preserved over the health and welfare of U.S. citizens.
Now, this is the kind of situation that you're seeing, these kind of like disparate reactions. We oftentimes see the politicians can't manage this. I mean, there's not somebody on the Board of Supervisors able to go out to this crowd
right.
and, in a sense, stick to that. What is your sense of that? And is that kind of one of the things that YIMBY has tried to do, is to bolster those politicians, to give them some political will, knowing that they have a different community out there that will support them?
First, I just want to say that the politicians are facing a very difficult situation. It's a tough situation. There's lots of factors involved. But yes, one of the express purposes of the YIMBY movement is to provide support and a voice that will support local politicians saying yes to new housing, whether that's permanent supportive housing or if that's, you know, market rate condos. You know, we as the YIMBY movement advocate for housing at all income levels. We don't just advocate for affordable or subsidized housing. So that's an important difference, I think, between the YIMBY movement and other housing activists. But yes, I mean, the express purpose, I mean, at its core, YIMBY is about turning out the people that are most impacted by high housing costs to planning commission meetings and city council meetings to let our elected officials hear from us that we recognize we have a housing shortage. We recognize that finding affordable housing in the open market is a function of supply, and we must increase that supply.
Now, how do you guys engage? Because sometimes, too, you see projects that just aren't very well built, or, you know, they haven't gone out and got community support. I mean, I've seen this as a reporter where they just seem thick-headed about, I want to do it this way, and you've got a community that has issues with that. Do you guys try to work with the politicians, with the cities to say, or to establish better outreach plans? Because that's frankly something we see a lot, is that the outreach is pretty lame from the cities, from the developer. They don't defend themselves very well.
So I guess I would say that we haven't been around long enough maybe to have accomplished that. We're still kind of building our network, both of supporters and of volunteers. So I'm sure there are projects that are poorly built. I'm sure there are projects that have had, you know, poor outreach. The fire in my belly got started from Fullerton, right? From my own experience living in Fullerton. And we had a project there that was done by the company called Red Oak. And they did great outreach. I mean, you know, they built support for their project by the partners in the company literally going door to door in the neighborhood where they were going to build. And, you know, they got a lot of naysayers, but they got support and they came to council, you know, with letters from neighbors with quotes on PowerPoint slides. I was someone that came out and advocated for that project because I've always been somebody who kind of is engaged locally. Before I was active on housing, I was active on other things. So I think there are projects that do a good job. I guess we haven't gotten to the level of engagement that you're describing, and it really is a function of time. I mean, I started this in January of 2017. It's now April of 2018, so I've been doing it, you know, a year and 3 months or a year and 4 months, and, you know, for over the first year, I did it completely as a volunteer. So I'm the staff. I'm a staff of one.
Are you getting other people to join in?
I'm really kind of modeling this, you know, at least the outreach effort on what's worked up with an organization in San Francisco called YIMBY Action. And the way that they have organized is they have an overarching kind of, you know, coordinated group. And then they have sort of these neighborhood or regional, sub-regional action teams. So when I went to look at how to set up something for Orange County, you know, our strength is in our unity. So I started with Fullerton because that's where I live, and I've got a good group. I've got a solid core group of people in Fullerton that will, you know, when I say, okay, there's a project on the agenda, you know, for this night, we need to be there, I get people to show up. And then dovetailed off that, there was a person in Irvine who was interested in starting a chapter in Irvine. So we have a chapter of folks in Irvine that will show up. We're not big necessarily, but we're there. And I think it's important that the YIMBY movement be present in Orange County. I think oftentimes, especially around issues of governance, Orange County is looked at as somewhat parochial and perhaps, you know, obviously conservative, but even insular. And the YIMBY movement is really about forward thinking, pro-growth in a sense of like pro-opportunity, right? Not just pro-growth to make money for the people who already have money, but pro-opportunity by creating new opportunities for home ownership, creating new opportunities for housing that is affordable using the definition of, you know, 30% of your income.
When you look at this movement sort of growing, how do you see you guys interacting? Do you see yourself going beyond just showing up to a city council meeting, or do you see yourself getting more proactive with cities, their planning departments, developers, others?
I mean, I think right now in the short term, what I need to be doing and focusing on is building more chapters in Orange County. I mean, we have two pretty active chapters, and we have two chapters that are active online and I think do a lot of outreach via social media. The two chapters I referenced before, you know, we have regular meetings, we have meetups, we have a speaker series, just to try to do outreach to people, to build, you know, the number of quote-unquote YIMBYs, people that will show up and say yes to housing. I think in my short term, you know, I just am concentrating on building more people, building more chapters. I have had a lot of people reach out to me, both policymakers, nonprofits, businesses, to say, you know, we want to support you and we need support from you. So that's been great. I mean, I've had conversations with movers and shakers that I never thought in a million years I'd be in the same room with. And I think what that speaks to is the need, right? The need for there to be a pro housing message, you know, and so that's really been embraced by, for example, the United Way, who's working on this End Homelessness OC, right? So I've been engaged with them in discussions about what can we do with messaging, you know, how do we message this so that we can provide that permanent supportive housing that is so desperately needed.
Do you ever get critiques from people that may see you as pro-developer as opposed to pro-housing, and how do you deal with that?
Yes, I get that. If you read our social media pages, people are constantly saying, you know, you're a shill for developers, you must be in bed with the developers. We need developers. Developers build our housing. Developers take risks to put forward units that people live in. So this idea of the greedy developer, it's really a fallacy because we need these folks. You know, what does a developer do? They take capital and they invest it in housing, right? I mean, there's multiple steps, but effectively, you know, we need them because we need the capital to build the housing. So I guess having, again, you know, since I started doing this and learning more about what it takes to get a project entitled, not built, just entitled, just to get through that process, right? The amount of investment that goes into professional services, you know, hiring an architect to do the renderings, hiring a civil engineer to do the site plan, those are costs that a developer has to pay whether or not their project gets approved. So those costs get built into the price of the housing. So for every project where they reduce the number of units that can be built or where they just don't approve the project, the developer still bears those costs. And when they are not able to recoup those costs, it gets rolled over into the costs of the next successful project. So I guess that's my response to people who think that, you know, we're really, you know, developers are evil and they're greedy. Yes, there's a lot of money to be made in entitling property, but there's also a lot of risk, and you are paying for the price of risk. And that is something that everyone understands, right? We talk about interest rates. If you have great credit, you get a lower interest rate. If you have poor credit and you're unlikely to make your regular payments, your interest rate is higher. So saying that, you know, there's high profit in development, yeah, there's also a lot of risk.
Do you see yourself also putting, in a sense, I don't want to say pressure on developers, but sometimes there are developments, let's say, that involve hard choices, right? Do you reduce some units or do you preserve a piece of open space that's critical for the community? Do you see yourselves as that sort of balancing voice of, in a sense, trying to hold both sides accountable, trying to create more of a consensus between a reasonable conversation?
I want to see ourselves that way. One thing I always say to my members, you know, this is not groupthink. You know, I've got folks in my group that are really drawn to the YIMBY movement by the idea of private property rights, right? That's what gets them fired up, is the idea that, you know, neighbors shouldn't be able to shut down a development just because they happen to own a home next door when they're not the property owner of the development that is being proposed. I have other people that are in this for preservation of affordable housing. For them, it's a social justice. That's what attracts them to this fight. So yes, I want to say that we are a balanced group, or we're looking for balance. At the same time, it's not groupthink. I mean, there is no like criteria to be a member. If you're interested, we would love to have you. We'd love to have your input. Not everyone is going to agree on everything, right? And I actually have had my opinions change, which I was really surprised where I went from, you know, it was the issue of Coyote Hills. And originally I felt very strongly that, you know, we needed to not build anything on Coyote Hills, that it needed to stay the way it was. And then the more I learned about the housing shortage and the more I learned about what the city was actually trying to do to preserve some of that open space and to get investment into a nature preserve that then would be open to the public, because right now it's just fenced off land, I found my opinion change. So again, you know, we're not of all of the same opinion and we don't all come to this movement with the same driving force or motivation. But I want to say that, yeah, we are a voice for balance.
How do people get in touch with you? How do people join?
You're welcome to look at our website. We are www.peopleforhousing.org. There are opportunities to be a, quote, paying member, but really that's for fundraising. You're welcome to come to any of our events or attend any of our meetings. There's no cost involved. We have a Twitter feed. We're at Housing OC. We have a Facebook page. We're at Housing OC on Facebook. You're welcome to email me at hello@peopleforhousing.org.
Elizabeth, Thanks so much for joining us for the latest podcast of On OC. You're one of the people here in Orange County, the civil society that makes this place tick, and it's been interesting to see the movement grow. For those of you listening, feel free to let us know what you think housing and the future of housing in Orange County should be like. Shoot by the Facebook page and let us know how we're doing. Make sure to like us on iTunes, and always stay in touch. This newsroom's here for you.